Hey, welcome back to Ship It. I'm Matt Merrill from Depth Digital Products. And today we got another origin story. So we'd like to dive back into our some of our makers' backgrounds and figure out what makes them tick and what makes them interesting. So today we have Ali Halim. He's going to tell us about his journey into software development. So Ali, you want to introduce yourself?
I do, yeah. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here. Long time listener, first time caller. I told you before, I listened to the podcast in preparation for my Depth interview. So
a good guest.
Anybody that's listening in the future to this as their preparation, we can be best friends, instant friends. So just hit me up. I'll be available. But I'm a software engineer. Been here for about a year and a half. Loving it so far. I've worked on some really cool projects. So the whole reason I got into the agency world was to work on different projects, get exposure to different clients and work with different people and just soak in all that experience. So yeah, loving it so far.
Cool. So what type of stuff have you worked on here while you've been here?
It's been a mix. This most recent project, I was exclusively back in for the first time in my life. It was back in for native mobile apps. So that was interesting. But before that, I did a project with a client that I was the only developer, which was also a first. That had its own set of challenges, but it was cool. But by the end, I was like, I need to be with the team. The preference would be to be with a team I'm always trying to soak in other people's knowledge and hear what they think and work with, different types of skill sets and, just collaborate. And that's what I love about the agency world. Just every so often getting the chance to work with different people and solve different problems together. So
let's dial it way back. What got you into software then originally? And was it something that you always have been interested in or something you fell into? Really curious.
Definitely the latter. So I would say the nexus point would be freshman year of college. I got into Clemson University with the chosen major was sociology, which I was just trying to get accepted to a college.
Yep.
I applied to a few. I got in a few, but I was like, I'm too good for those, basically. So dumb decision, but it was out of state. So, I'm a Georgia resident and Clemson's South Carolina. So got in with sociology, but they had an opportunity where you can change your major. And so, during orientation leading up to freshman year, you can change your major. So they give out a booklet with all the different majors listed and what they are. And I'm like, I know I have to change it. And I know I want to do something with computers. And I don't know what any of this means, but I saw one that said computer science. I read a little bit about it and it sounded interesting. So I chose it and went from there. Kind of just fell in love with the problem solving aspect of it. Given this and that, make this happen and the puzzle part. And, I'm an introvert naturally, so you don't necessarily have to, it can be your thing. You know what I mean? It can be something that you challenge yourself to come up with solutions for. And obviously collaborate as needed, but I just fell in love with the problem solving part. And
That's something that I appreciate about it too. It's like I say to a lot of people that I appreciate the art of programming actually over the science. Of course, there's the science of, algorithms and stuff like that, but just finding a good solution to a problem, especially if it's like simple, there's a beauty in that, right? Does that resonate with you too? Or?
Yeah. And it can become addictive. It can be an addiction. Like one of the first problems I had to solve, in my freshman year was like, getting some colors to print on the screen and like there's like red, green, and yellow or something. Mm-hmm. And I would, all the rest of the classmates were just, finish it up. They were done. They were gone. And I was still there hacking away and I was new to it. So I was trying to figure it out. And I'm sure every developer has the same, has used that the phrase, coming to a stopping place or, getting to a point of, where you're satisfied with your work. So I couldn't stop until I figured it out. And that was kind of weird. That was like my first like addiction episode.
That was freshman year, you said?
Freshman year of college, yeah.
Tell me more about that. Like what language, like what, tell me more about what you were printing on the screen and like how, what the challenge was there.
I think it was C. I know it was C. Oof. That was the first language I've worked with.
You were doing freshman year. You were doing C.
I was doing C. Yeah. Woo!
Okay. Serious. Clemson is Clemson, right?
It was Clemson.
That's no joke. All right. We know, yeah. Clemson is serious. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. And I transferred to Georgia Tech for my last 3 years of college. And I think they actually start with Python. So they do it a lot more
practical.
Yeah. But yeah, Clemson was C. They throw you to the wolves. But I think it was like a simple like loop through some colors, maybe, or maybe some RGB values, and print them horizontally on the blank page, and maybe had to scale properly, you know, as you increase the window size or whatever. But I just couldn't get, there was something I couldn't get, and it took me forever. But yeah, I stuck with it, and I had to. Yeah. I mean, other than that, some other early exposure that like kind of hooked me were, it was called like Carol the Robot. You could probably look up the book, but it was one of the books we used in class where I guess it was a bunch of lessons where you were just programming this robot to move around a space. And, you know, they had to, I guess, get out of different mazes, or, you know, programming it to go pick this up and all of that type of thing. So.
And this was also in college?
Yeah, this was college.
Oh, cool. So, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Also in C?
Probably. I don't know. But I think it was still Clemson. So yeah, still.
It's like a traumatic memory.
Right.
Yeah, that's funny. So, okay. So you're at Clemson. You're doing C. Mm-hmm. You stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
Got the bug for solving that problem. Perseverance, grit, amazing. So you said you transferred to Georgia Tech. Was there any, like, I'm curious from a, like an educational perspective, was there a very different philosophy to teaching that you observed there?
I just know it taught me how to, or it was the beginning of teaching me how to like manage my time, because it's like Georgia Tech is notorious for just killing your sleep schedule, your will. They call it making it out when you graduate. So average bedtime was probably 3 a.m. And, you know, I mean, a lot of that was by choice probably, but I felt like I had to do it in order to keep up. So it was a different workload for sure. It's like trial by fire, you know. I wouldn't change a thing from what I did.
So you made it out.
Made it out.
As they say.
Just barely.
Side note, I don't miss college. At all. Like I really enjoy the professional world much more than college.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But
I've thought of going back, and it's like, why? Oh, I would never do that. You're in school again. No. So
what was your first job? What was your experience? Like was it in computer science? Was it in something else? Like tell me a little bit more about how you moved along.
So my first job, I was lucky enough to not need one in high school. So my first job was in college, but it was like had nothing to do with programming. I was just trying
to same.
Pay
same,
the same. Rent. Eventually I got an internship with AT&T, I think during my junior year. That was working with some of their backend systems. I forget exactly what did that involve. I think it was called Google Web Toolkit.
I remember that one. Yep.
It was like we were making a simple UI for something related to their TV and internet stuff. So, and also, I dabbled in Perl a little bit, doing some Perl scripting. I forgot everything, of course, but that was just cool to finally start to get a taste of just real world scenarios and things people need from you as an engineer. So. And I had a great mentor there at AT&T. They were great people, so I enjoyed it. That was nice.
That's great. That's great. I one of my questions for you was going to be about if you had a mentor. So tell me a little bit, what was that mentor like at AT&T? That's pretty awesome to find somebody who's a mentor that early.
And I mean, there's no contact today, so it's not like a lifelong thing or anything. But during that time, and even before that, I would say my interview for AT&T, I bombed it. It was terrible. It was like my first actual interview. And I just didn't know how to interview. So the woman was, you know, afterwards, she let me finish. We finished the interview, but she basically just told me, like, I'm going to give you another chance. You know, we can try this again. We rescheduled it. She told me, you know, what to do to prepare and, you know, how to be ready for the next time. And I mean, that I'm forever grateful for that. You know, I wouldn't.
That's amazing. That's really cool.
Yeah. I don't know where I would be without that chance. So, I mean, I'm sure I would have been okay, maybe, but.
But that's a very graceful, like,
yeah,
there's a lot of humanity in that, not to just write somebody off and just be like, look, I know you've got potential. Let's try this again. That's really cool.
For sure. For sure. Like stuff like that, you know, keeps your faith in humanity, like you said. So, but yeah, the mentor himself during the time, he was just great. He all, you know, I don't know how busy he was during his, you know, usual day to day, but always took the time to check in and, you know, make sure I understood the assignments and give good feedback and took me out to lunch. And so, you know, you had the networking piece and, you know, just really, really took the time to make sure I was given the best chance to make the most out of the internship and possibly come back and work for them full time. So, yeah, that was great. As somebody coming in, you know, fresh, it's invaluable to just hear the different things you hear from them and get that guidance and be able to have somebody ask questions too and get insight. So that was great.
What was next? Did you do another internship? Did you start another job after graduation?
That was the only internship. Luckily I did land a job with Verizon coming out of college. So still in the phone world. Verizon was fun. Some of it. it was really cool to, like, they would, like, launch, you know, new iPhones and have to come in, and I don't know what hour it was late. We would come in as, like, developers and support team and basically, like, count down the clock and make sure nothing blew up when they released the iPhone, because so many people would come to the site and try to buy and whatnot. So I was on the team working on point of sale systems. So the website, store reps had iPads, you know, when they work with you, when you walk in there. So the app that they use, we worked on that. Telemarketer, you know, the people you call, customer service, those apps they use. So that's
a massive set of apps. Like, talk about scale. Wow.
Oh yeah. And so, you know, I was new. I was a baby still. So I got stuck in, you know, doing trouble tickets at some points, just like, you know, little bugs and, you know, here, take care of this type of thing. Yep. You know, a lot of time wasn't, you know, programming, but I mean, there was still that in there, working with JavaScript and Ajax and Oracle, I think ATG e-commerce framework or something like that. And I don't think it's alive anymore, but I think I mentioned that to my brother at the time, and he had never heard of either. So probably a short-lived framework, but
So is your brother also in software, or
he
some kind of tech?
Yes, he is. Which surprised me when I learned about it, because I mean, life was just going on. I was in college. He was out doing his thing. I had no idea, but he was building websites and basketball simulation games. And like, I'm like, what? I did not know this. But yeah, his main thing is PHP. We share a lot of stories.
Now, did he help you in your career too? Or did he provide you any guidance, or?
There wasn't a lot of overlap. So at the time, like, I think when I found out he's actually a developer, I was still getting under my feet in college, I think. And I was still so green that I wouldn't even been able to receive what he was telling me. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just, we shared stories and talk about servers stuff and, you know, ask him how he's able to make I mean, there's this basketball game. We still play it. It's amazing, the animation and the
And he did it in PHP?
PHP, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have five brothers, so we all hop on there and control the team and have fun with it. So
that's amazing. Oh man.
Yes.
Wow. I got questions about that, but that's I guess that's neither here nor there. That's cool. So Verizon. And so what would you say? Did you have a mentor at Verizon? Or was that
really?
No, not really. Yeah. No. Kind of more of a grind. Like sounds to correct me if I'm wrong. Sounds like that was a little bit more of a grind, like grinding out tickets and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to pay the dues.
Got to pay your yeah. It was like being a rookie on a team.
Yeah,
cutting your teeth and just trying to soak in what it's like in the real world, because it's way different than college, which they don't really tell you enough. But yeah, that was.
I feel like they should tell you your first job is probably going to be a lot easier than college, but it's going to be miserable in a different way.
Right.
I remember one of my first programming jobs. Like, I actually really loved the job. I loved who I work with, but they handed me a pager. I'm going to date myself. It was a BlackBerry.
A BlackBerry.
And that thing would go. It was a team of like five people that supported all these web services that a huge company used. And like, it would go off in the middle of the night with like these logs, and it would be like, what are these? Oh my God, these look bad. What are these? And then like, I would have to call somebody else. And they'd be like, oh, those, don't worry about those.
Oh man.
Like, oh, well, it woke me up. That's
so, man.
So everybody's got to pay the deuce. Yeah. Everybody's got to pay. So where'd you go from Verizon?
So Verizon, I hopped over to a financial services company. Smaller, but, I guess more focused on one product. It was like their mobile app. I did a lot for them in terms of just full stack. So it was that was my first taste of Vue. First taste of microservices, a mix. It was a mix. So I got to the point where I was eventually able to lead a team. I was team lead. So that did come after, I would call it a mentorship. So I was on a team that was working on a slice of the app for a while. And I just overheard him in the break room, the guy I was working under, or the guy that was the team lead at the time. I heard him in the break room and he was just talking about how he was kind of overwhelmed. And I was like, that might be an opportunity. So was able to switch on to that team and work with him for a while. And eventually got the chance to lead that team. He hopped over to another team. And so that was my first taste of like being the first point of contact for a slice of a project or a slice of an application.
You sat two rows over from him. I do not miss working from an office, but I do miss that. Like that sort of random serendipitous encounter. Like, and I understand, like, that's why some companies want it to happen. But tell you what, I don't want to sit in a car and commute again.
I hear you.
Ever again. I think that's really awesome that you seized that opportunity. Tell me a little bit about like how did you do that? Because I think there's something that people can learn from seeing that opportunity and taking advantage of it.
For sure. For sure. I think we all reach points where we're not, enjoying what we're doing the most on a project, or, become exhausted with it, or, feel like we're not being utilized the way we should. And my thing at that point was really just like, I'm still trying to learn and, get better and better and get practice with what I know I should be getting practice with. So I felt like I wasn't getting that at that time. And so just reaching out based on what I heard, what it sounded like was an opportunity to help out a colleague. I mean, I sat like a row across from him. So it wasn't like we didn't have a background. We were friends at that point, and we would talk about what each other was working on. But it was just, an opportunity that sounded like, hey, I know y'all are using this technology on this project. And, it was had good visibility within the company and, good people. I know good people were on the project, and I would love to work with them too. So,
yeah,
really just about reaching out and, you know, seeing if it was possible. If it wasn't, then, you know, you keep doing your job, obviously, and you see what else is out there, maybe, and you just always keep that conversation open with your manager or, you know, people that are close to you to basically be able to make sure you're getting where you need to be, getting what you need to get in your career as a learner, as a lifelong learner, as a, you know, as an engineer who wants to solve problems. So at that point, it was the perfect opportunity. So it worked.
That's awesome.
It worked out. I was able to join the team, and he was the team lead. I was his right hand man a little bit, and I just soaked in everything he was. I was able to sit back and watch, and, you know, do my job too, but see how he thought, see what he was presented with as a team lead, and what was asked of him from stakeholders, and what to be aware of technically and, you know, non-technically, just like, you know, what to do in his position. So I really
wanted
to soak in some of that, because I know.
How long did you work with him?
I think it came out to be about 2 years.
That's a good chunk of time. That's amazing. And did you say you ended up leading a portion of that team? Did I misunderstand that? Or that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge opportunity.
For sure. They wanted him to kind of graduate and go be on another team. And, you know, at that point in time, you know, I guess I had shown enough to where they were comfortable with it. And I leapt at the opportunity. That was awesome.
That's really cool. I've often told, like, younger engineers of, like, just go talk to people you admire, just offer to buy them a coffee or whatever. It doesn't even matter. There's so much to be learned from just asking people questions and just expressing curiosity. And it sounds like there was a lot of that in this. It was just like, that was a team that you saw that you admired,
yeah,
and you just kind of went, you know, and asked questions and expressed a sincere offer of help. And like there's a lot of good lessons there. It wasn't a selfish, you know, like, I'm trying to climb the ladder move, because people can see right through that, right? It was more of a, I think I can help you, and I can learn from you too. So that's
for sure.
Nice. All right. So what about Verizon? Then Dept? And wait, no, we were Verizon, then financial services, then Dept?
And then Dept, yeah.
And then you came here. Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah. This is my first agency experience. And like I said, part of it was just wanting to not be so as stagnant as you can get in, like, a firm that's dedicated, you know, focusing on one product or one LOB. So just getting a variety of exposure was the goal. So I was like, that sounds like me. As like, it's in my personality to not be doing one thing for too long. So I just felt like it was time. And I've always had an interest in, like, marketing and just brands and logos in general. So that was kind of like a silver lining of, like, I know I could tell from what I saw from Depth that that was kind of their thing. Just the client, you could see some of the clients they work with, and just their style. And, like, it's funny, like, when I was job searching, I was going a lot based on, like, companies' websites and how they looked and how they presented themselves. So I wanted to get a taste of the agency world, and I'm loving it so far.
Cool. Yeah, I love that about it too. I took a leap. I didn't think I would like it. I kind of got, I don't want to say dragged into it, but I took it mostly because of proximity, and I love it, man. Yeah. I love that everything, you know, something new all the time. Yeah. All right. Well, any other words of wisdom that you want to share for, you know, maybe like the junior devs out there trying to grab that next opportunity by the horns?
Stay true to what you feel like you want to do with your career, and more importantly, your life. Obviously, if you know, you feel pointed in the direction of, you know, doing this and doing that. I mean, I can't prescribe a way to live life, obviously, but mm-hmm. it counts most when you can find yourself in a place where you're you're not dreading and you're not miserable and you're not, you know, you like what you do, you like the people you work with, and you know, that all goes without saying. So I mean, that's nothing new, but just always make sure you're following your gut and staying true to what your heart is telling you. Because if you have ulterior motives and ulterior means of making decisions about what you want to do next with your career and whatnot, it'll hit you on the back end, and you know,
sure will. But yeah, I have a little bit of a counter story for your team lead. So, and this is my own experience. I spent almost 8 years at a job, my first job out of college. And I always kind of say I spent 5 years too many there. After about 3 years, I was kind of done and I didn't listen to my gut. And I think it was, I don't know how far along in your career that was, but it sounds like it was much earlier on. And so that's, I think that's really good advice. Speaking of life. All right. So we always end with picks, which is just something that you're digging lately. It doesn't have to be work related. Does not have to be tech related. So I'll go first. You can go next. I'll set the tone. So I am not going work related. I usually don't, which I don't know what that says about me. But a book that I've been reading lately is called The Lost Art of Running. And then the subtitle is A Journey to Rediscover the Forgotten Essence of Human Movement, which I just had to read out loud. That's quite a subtitle, but it's by Shane Benzie and Tim Maid. And I'm a runner. I guess I'll use that in quotation marks, but it's pretty amazing analysis. Like it's from a running coach who does like gait analysis running and just some really interesting observations about how important your fascia in your body as opposed to bone and muscle, which everybody focuses on. So if anybody's into running, that one's definitely worth looking into. So How about you?
I have a popcorn maker that I'm really.
I love it.
Yeah. So got it from Amazon. It's part of my, I guess, quote unquote, man cave setup. have a projector in my, it's a finished basement. Part of it's finished. So a projector, a popcorn maker, a couch. So yeah, every night I'm down there, basically every night. And it makes perfect popcorn every time.
What kind of popcorn maker are we talking about? We talking about oil pop, air pop? What is it?
Oils. Coconut oil in there, some seeds, turn it on, let it do its thing.
Me hungry.
Yeah. Tried to write an Amazon review and they rejected it because I felt scoop with like 20 O's. And I looked into why. I'm like, seriously, I was just being silly, but I don't write reviews a lot. So I'm like, you know, I really like this product. And I was like, oh, and I love that it comes with a scoop. And apparently in their guidelines, you can't like put nonsense and gibberish. And I guess,
oh, that's not nonsense.
I guess they found that as
gibberish. All right. So we're going to stick it to Amazon. And in the show notes, we're going to provide a direct link to that popcorn maker with no affiliate. So we're not making money. We just want to let the people know about this popcorn.
That's maker. All I was trying to do. I was trying to get the word out and trying to get people to really understand that this is the one to choose. You're going to choose one. It'll change your life. I can never do microwave again.
When am I coming over to your man cave? This sounds fantastic. So
book a flight.
All right. Here on Ship It, the hard hitting news about popcorn makers. Ali, thank you very, very much. This was awesome. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.